Let's all stand together for scripture reading this morning. The first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 to 20. This morning, as we worship our God together, I want to ask you to set just one thing in your mind as we read and hear the word being preached to us. And that is how we must worship our God, how we must approach the presence of our God for worship. So hear the word of God from Isaiah chapter 1, starting from verse 11. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trembling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now I would invite you to turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, where my text for this morning comes from. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 to 18. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not be have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any conscience of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who have been sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of this, there is no longer any offering for sin." This is the reading of the holy and the infallible Word of God. And may the Lord bless the reading of His Word into our hearts by the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, this time we come to you to hear your voice, to hear your heavenly voice through the preaching of your word. Feed us by the bread of life, your Son Jesus Christ. Illumine our hearts and our minds to the hearing and understanding of your word. And make us not only hearers of your word, but also doers of your word. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those of you who are parents with children, what is one of the prevalent words, a frequent spoken word that you hear from your young children? Do you hear words like, "Yes, sir," "Yes, ma'am," "I love you, dad," "I love you, ma'am," or "Yes, brother," or "Yes, sister," when they respond to their older ones? Is that the frequent spoken word that you hear from your children? Just to be fair to our children, all our children, we hear those words from time to time from our children. But that is not the leading and frequent spoken word that we hear from our children. If you want to know what that word is, it is, "I want." The word "I want" is the one word that we frequently hear from our young children. "I want to go outside. I want your mobile phone. I want your iPad. I want to go outside and play as much as I can." The list are many. I want. But is that the only challenge for our young children? It is not our challenge also. Even as adults, how many of us always, frequently say, "I just want to have a good life. I want God to bless me with a wife that will make me happy all the time. I want to have a time of vacation. I want to see my salary being increased." You see, everyone in this world is thinking about what he wants. The question that the writer of the Hebrews wants us to answer this morning is, how much of our time do we think about what God wants from us? We live in a world where people, even believers, often think about what they want. The text before us this morning will require us to answer that question in our Christian life. You see, the main theme of the book of Hebrews is the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The excellence and the preeminence of Jesus Christ over all things, prophets, angels, Moses, David, Abraham, that Christ is superior to all these characters and figures in both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Christ is above all. He is the preeminent. But remember, along with that big picture and bigger theme of the book of Hebrews, the one subject matter that the writer deals with is the worship of God. How God must be worshipped. How the people of God should approach the presence of God for worship. And he was dealing, you see, with this issue because of what his audience were experiencing at the time that he wrote this epistle. He was writing to Jewish believers in Jerusalem, both Jewish and Gentile believers. They were his audience. They were the recipients of his letter. And the challenge was, after they embraced the gospel, they left the temple and they started worshiping God through the perfect sacrifice that Christ opened for them by His blood. They were engaged in true worship of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Their sacrifices, their worship before God was pleasing to the heart of God. But then persecution came. And the persecution that they faced in their life was severe. It was beyond of what they can bear. And some of them, not all of them, but some of them in the Church of Jesus Christ, they started contemplating going back to Judaism, going back to the old system, to sacrifices and offerings where they were before. They wanted to go back to their former life because of persecution, but also because of what other people around them were doing. Because everyone was going to the temple. Everyone was in Judaism, worshiping God through sacrifices and offerings. And to deal with that problem, you see, the writer is telling them, why? Why do you need to go back to Judaism? Let me tell you two things the writer is saying in our text this morning. Let me tell you what sacrifice God wants and what sacrifice God doesn't want. And my point this morning are only two. The first one is the sacrifices that God does not want. You will find that in verse 1 to 6. And the secondly, the sacrifice that God wants from verse 7 to 18. So let me start with the first one. The sacrifices that God does not want. Notice what the writer is saying in verse 5 and 6. Consequently, he said, when Christ came into the world, he said. This is not the author of the book of Hebrews speaking. This is not the one who is preaching to you this morning speaking. The writer is borrowing these words from Psalm 40. It was a prophecy that has been spoken by Jesus Christ himself before his incarnation. And Jesus said, when Christ came into the world, he said, what did Jesus say? Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. My friends, let me remind you this. Every time Jesus tells you something, you need to listen. If I tell you something, you can go back home, read your Bible, and discern whether what I have told you is true or not. When Jesus tells you something, he's telling you what is true. He's not going to deceive you. He's not going to distort the will of his Father. He knows what the heart of God desires. So here, Jesus says, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. And this Jesus said was after I came to the world, which means after my incarnation, after I went to the cross and died for you and completed the work of redemption And after I justify you, I sanctify you by my blood. After I give you a direct access to God the Father for worship, you will not need sacrifices and offerings in order for you to worship God. This is unique, my friends. This is glorious. Reasons. Jesus is saying, now the Father, with I being between Him and His people, does not want the sacrifices and offerings that the people of the Old Testament were presenting to Him. Now, any Jew at that time, even some of you this morning, would ask, wait a minute. Isn't God Himself who commanded Moses to require the people of Israel to bring sacrifices and offerings to God? What's going on? Is God contradicting with Himself? Is God changing His mind? Is God forgetting what He just commanded His people to do? And that's a legitimate question, but the answer is, sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament were not meant to be the base and the ground for the justification of God's people. Sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament were not meant to be for people to take them and make them their own efforts in order to make things right with God. That was not the intention of God with sacrifices and offerings. And you might ask, so what was the reason? Well, the writer in verse 3 shows us the reason. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. They were only reminders of sin. God's intention was not for them to cover sin or remove sin for that matter. They covered sin temporarily for the time being, but God was not meant for them to be the power to remove sin from the people of God. And I want you to picture the sin at the tabernacle. When the people of God went to the tabernacle to worship God, there was this altar. And the moment you enter the tabernacle, you will see the altar. Around the altar, you will see blood. Blood everywhere. The sin, my friends, was terrible. It was terrifying. Blood everywhere. Why? To remind the people about the seriousness and the destructive nature of sin. Blood always reminds us what? Of death. The Bible said the wage of sin is death. You see, the blood, all the animals that have been slaughtered at the tabernacle, at the altar, remind the people that sin is a very terrible problem in the life of the people of God. And all the animals that had been slaughtered at the tabernacle, they were innocent animals. It was an innocent animal and its blood that was poured on the altar. Remember what God told the people of Israel in Egypt. Before they left Egypt, He told them to put the blood on the doorposts of their houses, and the angel of death passed them. That blood, my friends, that blood of the animal was pointing the people to the Messiah to come. The one who will wash them by His blood, not on a temporary basis, but forever. That perfect blood, perfect sacrifice of the Son of God. But you see the difference now. What happened at the tabernacle was the blood of an animal. What happened at the cross was the blood of a person. That was the difference. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed His own blood on behalf of the people of God. Why? To open a direct access for you to worship God. Without any fear, with your conscience being cleansed, with your hearts being purified by His blood. When you came to the sanctuary this morning, were you afraid, my friends? No. If you are in Christ, if you are trusting in His blood, there is no reason for you to be afraid. Because you have a direct access to the most holy and exalted God because of the blood of the Son of God. You see, that's what the writer is telling them. If you go back to the temple, if you go back to the Judaism, you go back to the sacrifices and offerings. And after Jesus came and died for you and paid the penalty of your sins once for all, God doesn't want that sacrifice. My friends, let me remind you this. The Father sent His Son Jesus Christ not only to die for you at the cross, not only to wash you clean by the blood of His own, but He also died at the cross so that you will come closer to God. So that you will draw near to the Father to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is no fear. There is no condemnation now. No one would condemn you if you are approaching God and coming to His presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's the offering, you see. That's the sacrifices and offerings that God doesn't want. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then in verse 10, Isaiah said, the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. What is the will of the Lord that will prosper in his hand? Your approaching to the presence of God. You will come right to the presence of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. That will of God will prosper in the hand of the Son of God. Your approaching to the presence of God for worship depends, you see, on what Christ did for you on the cross. Nothing from you, nothing outside of you, but all depends on the blood of Jesus Christ. And other scriptures, my friends, attests to this truth. Remember what King Saul did one time. He won victory over his enemies. So he was victorious. But God commanded him not to take anything that belongs to his enemies. And King Saul disregarded the command of God. And he took everything that his enemies owned. And Samuel came to him and he said to the king, King, what have you done? What have you done? And King Saul said to Samuel, Samuel, you don't need to worry about it. Whatever I brought, whatever I took from our enemies, I will present them to the Lord as a sacrifice. That's what King Saul said. And Samuel responded by saying this, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than fat rams. See what Samuel was telling the king. What constitute worship, O King, is not sacrifices and offerings. It is a regenerate heart, a new heart, a heart that hears the voice of God, that hears the voice of God and obeys. And what is the will of God for us? To depend on Christ, to depend on the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ for worship. Hosea 6:6, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The knowledge of God. The true knowledge and worship of God is what God desires from you, the people of God. It is not your sacrifices. It is not your offerings. But what you present to Him for the glory of God and through His Son Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice. David one time fell into sin, as we all know. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He sent Uriah to the war zone and he was killed. And the king realized that he really sinned against God. And he was repenting in Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17. And in his repentance he said this, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not please it with a burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That's what consists worship, my friends. It is not sacrifices, it is not offering. Now some of you, maybe you are saying, we are not in the Old Testament, we are not in the tabernacle, we don't sacrifice animals, this is irrelevant to our life. No, it is relevant. Even today, you see, there are believers who try to sacrifice their money to God. Their money as a replacement of the blood of Jesus Christ. To get favor in the eyes of God. I help the church with money. I help the church with my time. I do this and that. God must be pleased with me. No! He is not pleased as far as worship is concerned. Anything that you do for the glory of God, yes, God is pleased. Anything that you do to obtain His favor in your life, He is not pleased. In fact, that is the kind of sacrifice that God doesn't want. So what's the deal for all of us and for those Christians at that time? All these men shows you that God does not want people to put their hope of salvation, hope of redemption on the blood, sacrifices of bulls and goats. Why? The writer tells us they are only shadows of what to come. Those of you who are married, if you are like me, you would recognize the shadow of your wife. If you follow the shadow of your wife, after following the shadow of your wife, her shadow will take you to your wife. It will not take you to another woman. It will take you to your wife because it's the shadow of your wife. But suppose, you see, you say to your wife this, "You know, dear, I love your shadow and I want to live with your shadow for the rest of my life." I can assure you, your day will not be great. Your wife would say to you, "You have me. You have me. I'm the deal. I'm here in person. You have me. Why do you want to live with my shadows?" And you see, Jesus is saying the same thing here. You have me. You have the substance. Christ, the Son of God Himself. Why do you want shadows? Why do you want symbols and copies of what to come? I have come. I have finished the work of your redemption. You have Jesus. You can worship God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ. So what is the sacrifice that God wants? Verse 7. "Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." You see, here the Son of God is speaking. Jesus Himself is saying, "I have come to do the will of God." And the will of God for the Son was to die for the sins of the people of God. John 6, 38, 39, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me." The will of God, the Father for the Son, was to die at the cross. In John chapter 4, very remarkable statement, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." My friend, the greatest gift that Christ gave to you, that Christ demonstrated to you, do you know what that gift was? He considered death on the cross His food. That's what Christ did for you. Christ said, "Dying for sinners, dying for the children of God will be my food. I will appease the wrath of God. I will satisfy the demands of the law of God by sacrificing my own life for the elect, for the children of God. And I will consider that my food." That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus did. And now the writer is saying that is the sacrifice that God wants. You see, the Old Testament was gracious. The law is gracious. But remember, the Old Covenant was a ministry of condemnation because people failed to keep the commandments of God perfectly. So the law of God condemned them. The law of God exposed them to their sin and pointed them to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Galatians 3:24. The law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. Paul, throughout his ministry, he taught he can be justified by keeping the commandments of God. But Paul himself would tell you, the same law that I thought will justify me condemned me, pointed me to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. "I am who I am," Paul said, "by the grace of God, because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross." Recently, I watched this remarkable story about an Ethiopian artist. He's not a millionaire, but this time he's making money. He's getting rich. And recently he was driving through the capital city, Addis Ababa, and he saw this homeless children playing on the streets. He stopped his car, he approached them, and he saw this young boy, 11 years old, young boy, homeless boy, entertaining his friends. All were homeless. And he saw this young man entertaining his friends, and the artist went to the boy and he told him this: "I love you, and I want to take you home and raise you as my own child." He took him home. The news went throughout all the city. So journalists came to the artist's house. And one journalist asked the artist, "Why did you take this boy to your home to raise him as your own child?" And the artist said, "Because I love him." And the journalist, you see, wanted to hear more. But there were also other boys, other homeless boys. "What did you see in him?" "Nothing. I just love him." "No, there must be a reason." "Nothing. I love him." His resounding response to the journalist was, "I love him. I love him. I haven't seen anything good, any good quality. I just love him." My friend, if you ask God today, "Why me?" God will say to you, "I love you." God didn't find you in church. God didn't find you witnessing. God didn't find you reading the scriptures. God found you in your grave, being dead in your sins and transgressions. That's where God found you. Suppose you go to a cemetery and you see this picture, this great photo of this beautiful young woman, and you are single, and you like the woman, and you go to your friend and you say to your friend, "You see, I saw this picture at the cemetery today. This beautiful woman. She's dead, but I saw her picture and I love her and I want to marry her. And your friend would think something is wrong with you. And he would say, but she's deceased. She's dead. You can't marry her. You can say that to your friend. You cannot say that to God. God would say to you, yeah, but I have the power to raise these people from death. He saw you in your grave. He loved you. And He granted the forgiveness of your sins. He raised you from the dead. And He granted the forgiveness of your sins. Not at the time that you were okay, you were righteous. But at the time that you were dead in your sins and transgressions. The Bible says Christ died for sinners while we were still dead in our sins and transgressions. But the beauty of your salvation, my friends, the beauty of your salvation is not only the forgiveness of your sins. If God would leave you with the forgiveness of your sins, nothing else, then you will come back to your sin. But remember what God did for you. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Which means I will give them a new heart. He forgave you your sins, but then He gave you a new heart to love Him, to worship Him, and to do all things for His glory. His blood, the blood of the Son of God, gave you the direct access to the Father. And then the Holy Spirit is testifying to you that you have been forgiven, but at the same time, you have been given a new heart. His law has been written in your hearts, in your minds. You keep the commandments of God today, not to justify yourself, not to make things right with God, but to glorify God, to express your love for God. My friends, let me ask you this morning. Now you know what sacrifice He wants. Would you enter to His presence through the perfect blood of Christ? Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you noticed the difference? Sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were plural. And they were done frequently. They were many. They were done frequently. Over and over again, the sacrifice of the Son of God was a single sacrifice once for all. And that's where your hope is depending. Not only for salvation, but also for a worship that will please the heart of your God in heaven. Come to the Father through the perfect sacrifice of His Son Jesus Christ. Worship Him without any fear. Your conscience and your heart being cleansed and purified by the blood of the Son of God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, how we bless and magnify Your name for the perfect sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom You are always pleased. Even long time ago, You said, this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. Help us to recognize Christ and His perfect sacrifice for us and worship You in spirit and in truth. Help us to abandon all other sacrifices. Sacrifices of our own, by which we always try to justify ourselves. To present ourselves as perfect people. But help us to depend on the perfect sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And always please You through that sacrifice. To come to Your presence through that one single sacrifice. A once for all sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.